this, I thought, well, you know, it's $100 for you and $200 for you. We're talking big money. At that time, it was silver and gold. But that's what God's given to us. I mean, God's given us multiple. He said, I got to go. He said, when this message was through, this was about half of Jesus' ministry, and he said, I'm leaving. He said, but I'm going to give you a talent. And talent, it's not that you can sing and dance, and we should be singing and dancing for kids and with hula hoops on. It's talent within yourself that you can do. I can't do the same thing. I can't preach. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. There's certain things I don't do. What's Jana do with all the ladies? I'm not an instructor. I don't do that. So everybody's got their talents. Everybody's got stuff they can do. And so when he gave a talent, and I read that one talent is worth almost 20 years of a day's labor of a man's work. That's one talent. That is a lot. That's within $1 million. He left them with a grand prize. In 15, and into one he gave 5 talents, into another he gave 2 talents, into another man he gave 1 talent. But the one that had received one went and dug it in the earth and hid it from the Lord. He hid his money. So what are we doing with our talents? I mean, obviously, I'm not Billy Graham. Neither is Jordan. We're not Sadie Robbins. Beth Moore. We're not her. I would like to say there's somebody in this room that's that, but I think that those are the people. Billy Graham. I feel like that those are the 5 talent people that have just. I mean, they can explode. I feel like that most of Christians today come to church, including me. I'm talking to myself. Sit down, listen to a message, and go home. We don't do anything with it. We don't study on it. We don't take it to work the next morning. I know for me, I mean, I work with 2 guys every day, so it's hard to witness to 2 guys that know how you feel and they don't want to hear it. I could, you know, throw seeds out, but that's about all I can do with them. But Jordan says every Sunday, go to your workplace and witness. Go to your school and witness. Like I say, we have talents. The guy that got the 2 talents, I think that's a lot of us. I think that's people who are being called. I think that's people who are as deacons. I think that's people who are getting out of the community and sharing Christ. I think that's us. But then I think there's a lot of Christians today that are putting it in the ground. I don't think that they want people to know they're Christians. I think that they want to come to church, as Ronnie Hepperly says, sit on their blessed assurance, and not share it. I think they're scared. I think that they don't want to have the altercation with their friends. When God comes back, Jesus comes back, man, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be doing as much as I can. I hear it's not up to me. It's not up to the church. It's not up to Jordan. It's not up to Justin. But I hear people say, well, I can't do this because of my job. Who owns the boss that you ask time off and time to leave to go on vacation? Who owns him? The Lord. Who owns the dirt under your job? The Lord. Who owns your time? The Lord. The Lord knows all of it. So when you say, I can't do this because of this, there are excuses. I understand that. Not a problem, but you're not talking to me or Jordan. You're talking to the Lord. I mean, that's the Lord's who you're talking to. But I think we can be. I just think if we don't take I mean, when the farmer came back, or whoever it was, this is a parable, but this is just a story that Jesus was talking about. But when he came back, he saw that the guy did not do anything but bury it in the dirt. And so he took it away from him and gave it to the guy that did the most. And if you read down, well, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but so with that, I lost a lot of sleep praying. Like I say, Shannon was fasting, doing different stuff, and so one of the guys I was talking to, and at this time I was still Jordan Sunday. You all heard him. He said that we're going to have a deacon ordination, and I was like, I got home close. Like, Dad, I didn't think you want to be a deacon. I was like, I don't want to be a deacon. So, but I don't know what I want to be. I don't know. I don't even know why I was fighting myself. But I never fight myself. But I was fighting myself over this. And so I was talking to one of the guys I went on the mission trip with, and he said, Tig, he said, man, he said, you've been to mission trips. He said, you talk to people. He said, you get out in the community. He said, why not be an outreach coordinator? And I started crying. I mean, I lost it. I mean, I called Shannon. I was crying. I was like, man, that is a perfect, if you're going to give me a name, give me that. Because I'm a goer, I'm a doer. I want to help. I want to do. I want to see stuff thrive. I don't want to sit and just do nothing in the church. I want to do something. And so I that was me. I just felt like that is perfect. So what that looks like in my eyes, and I need help. This is all new. I just brought this to Jordan this week. I brought it to Jane, and they gave me their blessing. But I need you guys to help me with this. But I see the world that we live in giving millions and millions of dollars trying to keep our kids brainwashed, out of church, and out of the Christ. Why are we not spending any money trying to get kids in here? So I started thinking in community projects, whether that be go to the town of Friendsville and say, hey, what can we do in this community? Marble Hill wants to be recognized. Marble Hill wants to be known. What can we do? Whether that be, I don't know, I need help. Whether that be missions, let's plan some, go on some missions. I know we're going one in June, y'all going in one in June. There's another church building in Panama, July the 8th, I think they're leaving out. There's stuff coming up. I know that India's pretty much shut down right now. I know Haiti's definitely shut down for us. But there's some things on the horizon that are coming up that if you all want to go, I think that is part of this getting out talents. I mean, get out, get uncomfortable. I'm up here. I don't want to be. Let me tell you something. If I had my druthers, I'd rather be at the cabin, or I'd rather be at my house. I would not want to be here with this floppy thing on my face talking to you guys. That's not what I want to do. But I'm here because the Lord put me here, and it's all the Lord's. And like I say, everybody's in season. Before I left on this trip, I was not in season. I'm in season now. And so one of the things I want to do with the church is do a new website. I've talked to a couple different website designers. I want to find stuff more accessible on the website. Talking to some of these guys, people nowadays from 18 to 35, let's say, they don't come to church. They're going to look at the website, and they're going to see what's the youth doing, what are they wearing, what are their songs, how are they serving, what are they saying, and that's on the website. They're going to look at the website before they ever step foot in this place. It is what it is. I can't change it. I wish I could. I'll tell you one thing, and this has really stuck with me. God has not changed. He said that 2,000 years ago. He's not changed today, but people have. How you could get people in church 50 years ago is totally different than how you can get them in today. And Bill mentioned that last week, how times have changed. And in today's time, it's internet. You got to get out there. So I want to try to get a new website. I don't think that's going to hurt us in the least to have an updated website. I've looked at a couple of the churches that are around us that are doing stuff, and man, the websites are just, you can look at pictures, you can look, and it's live stuff, not live, but it's stuff that's happening weekly. I want to try to do a new logo. Marble Hill doesn't have a logo. We've got a tree on something, and then we've got two initials, the M and the H. I think we ought to have a logo that we can start putting on stuff. One of the things that I did see, and like I say, I'm being pushed by 10 guys that I'm seeing. I don't want to be Rio. I know Rio does what Rio does. I don't want to be Rio. I want to be Marble Hill. But I also want to copy some stuff that they're doing that works and bring it to Marble Hill. One of the things they do, I mean, every day when we were in Panama, they had different shirts. It was either Rio Townsend or it was Rio 180 or it was Rio. I think we ought to do some t-shirts. I think we need a logo that we can put on our t-shirts. I think we need a logo that we can put on signs. But I want to start doing t-shirts, and I need you guys' help. I mean, what are some ideas that you have? Maybe two or three different t-shirts a year, and we'll come up with a design I'll show you the design, and if you all want one, we'll order one. You pay for it. The church didn't make any money. We're just trying to get our logo out. Trying to get Marble Hill out. I mean, if you look us up online right now, we're in a little corner of a little town called Friendsville, in the corner of downtown Friendsville. Why not get our website where we're the first one you see when you pull up in Friendsville? I mean, there's so many people moving to the area. I just think that we can do better than we're doing. I'm not saying we're doing bad, but I feel like there's always room to grow, especially if we want kids. Man, I want to see kids saved. That's my, if the kids don't come, the parents aren't going to come. And so I just want to get kids in here. One of the things that I want to do, and this hit me last week, Bridget was doing, talking about the VBS. Shannon's made 4 or 5 signs, and we put them out, and man, every place we put them out here is rock out here, and it's hard to get them in the ground. They flop over, and the wind blows them over, and I want to do 25 colored signs. It says, Welcome to Marble Hill VBS. And I want to do 5 red, 5 yellow, 5 green, 5 blue, and give them to different people and let you all put them out. I mean, let's put them out wherever you all think's fitting for around here. But it's fun. It's colorful. It's 25 yard signs that say Marble Hill VBS. Let's get out there. I want to do, if you all are willing to put it in your front yard, I want to do 50 white and green signs. I know we've got a kind of... Our church is tan and brown, and I keep trying to get Jana to let me do a white and green like the front sign out there. But I want to do some white and green yard signs for y'all to put out in your front yard at your house that says "Proud Member of Marble Hill Baptist Church." And it doesn't have to stay out there forever. But I feel like if your neighbor comes to you, you're not going to go to your neighbor and say, "Well, I go to Marble Hill." But if your neighbor comes to you, man, that's a huge opening door that you could start talking to them. Get them in here. One of the things that's what I want. I've got those as kind of brainstorming on things to do. the crosswalk. Where's Matthew? Matthew wanted to do the crosswalk, and so I looked into it. The crosswalk is talking to the gentleman that's over the crosswalk. The crosswalk's going to be on Chloe's birthday. It's on the 7th, April the 7th. It's going to start at Hickory Valley Church, probably around 8:39. That's to be announced, depending on how many kids they got. They're going to walk to Rio Central off Long Hollow, eat lunch, eat pizza, and then end at the Greenbelt Park. So it's about 13 miles total walking. That is a huge, huge event that we're allowed to be in. They actually were excited that I called. They said they need all the help they can get. They said they need some adults that will be able to walk that day and help keep the kids in line, because not everybody going down 321 wants to see a cross being carried and kids carrying it. They need some help at the Rio serving lunch and clean up after that. He expressed to me that there's some kids that fall behind during that walk. It's a long walk, 13 miles. I don't know if my fat tail could do it, but he said one of the things we've got some vans that could pick the kids up or, you know, drive behind. And I thought, we've got a bus. I said, you know, would you want us to bring a bus? And he was like, that would be amazing. So getting Marble Hill's name out there, you're putting it under the 21-day, 21. So you're getting your name out there. The Marble Hills bus is logoed up. It's ready to be in that. So I think we could carry kids from all different churches in that bus. I think we start getting our name out there. I think we quit sitting or burying or taking our two talents and sitting on it. I say we get out there. I say we start doing something. There's stuff you guys can do I can't do. Jake and Margaret are huge outreach people. I mean, they're always coming in with new places they've been and or done and looked up, and I mean, I'm inspired by that. There's things that people can do that we need to just, we need to say, God. And I know you guys are always hearing Jordan say, spread the gospel this week. Spread the gospel this week. I don't want you to spread the gospel this week. I don't want you to say a word this week. I don't want you to say a word to anybody. I don't want you to go to Walmart and talk to anybody. I don't want you to go to your work and talk to anybody. I want your head down, praying to the Lord, what's my talent? What would you, if you came back today, what would you want to see me doing? If we're not right with Him, and we're not talking to Him and know what our talent is, why are we talking to somebody else? Let's figure out what we need to be doing, what our talent is, and then we can spread it like fire. I want this church to be so on fire that when Jesus comes back, He comes here first. He sees something going on. Amen. And then I just, the last is Matthew. Take therefore the talents from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents. And this is where they've taken it to the man that's buried in the ground, didn't do anything. They came and they, as he says, set on your blessed assurance and went home and didn't do anything with your talents. Take it from him and give it to the man with 10 talents. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall abundance from his that hath not, he'll be taken away with even which he hath. Now this is what scares me, and this is why I want you guys to be praying this week. I want you to share. I think Jordan's right. I think you should share every week. I think you should share at the gas station. I think you should share the gospel. Plant a seed wherever you can plant it. But this week, this 7 days, I don't want you planting any seeds. I want you to find out what you need to be doing. What is your talent within the church, within the community, within your home? What is your talent that God says you're good at? Because right here in 30, and cast ye the unfeasible servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That scares the Holy Ghost out of me. That right there makes me want to be with the guy with the five talents. I don't want Jesus to come back and see me sitting here not doing anything. When he's talking about gnashing of teeth and whippings, no. That's. And then I put this in there, and I think this is really good. Just God rewards those who put up considerable efforts into being their lives and into living of those in their community. He does not command us to bury our talents and sit back await salvation. Rather, we're to command us to use what we have to make the world a better place. So I just think that we need to. I'm not a preacher, but I do feel like I needed to come up and tell you that I was not feeling the deacon, and I don't know why I was feeling the deacon, but something else happened along the lines, and I think that this is much more fitting for me. So I'm going to need, and like I say, this is going to take some time, but I do think this church is worthy of growing. I do think this church is worthy of getting out there. I do think this church is worthy of opening the doors and saying, you're all aware. Welcome, come in. We've got a nursery. We've got classrooms upstairs. We've got preachers that'll preach here. We've got a big sanctuary. We've got a kitchen. We can handle some people. Let's get them in here. So with all that said, like I said, I'm going to turn to Jordan, but I do think that one other thing that I, real quick, that I read, and man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Living in your comfort zone doesn't make you feel safe. It makes you small. And I thought that was huge. Living in my comfort zone doesn't make me feel safe. It keeps me small. And so when I was putting all this together, I thought, holy cow, man, I've been living in my comfort zone for so long. I don't want to be up here. I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to go do crosswalks on my daughter's birthday. I would rather do something else. I'd rather be my daughter. But God, and I kept telling myself, but God, He owns all of it. He owns every bit of it. Why am I going to work tomorrow? I need to be doing something for Him. So I appreciate y'all's time. And like I say, this awake crosswalk, it is on the 7th. We need to know something by this Wednesday. If you're going to help, if you're going to participate, I need to get back with Tim and let him know all the details so he can decide what time all the kids need to be there. And what I figured we'd do is we would meet here at the church, unless you're helping at Rio and right here on 321 and helping with the pizzas. If you're going to be in the crosswalk or helping the kids walk it, we'll meet here at the church in the morning. We'll take the bus to the Hickory Valley, and that's where we'll start. And then I'll just kind of hang back and pick up the strays. I appreciate that. Like I say, I'm not trying to separate this church. I know I've fought demons when I got back, and I've talked to a couple people, and people are like, what is wrong with that guy? It's just, I'm on fire. I mean, I feel like I'm busting at the seams, wanting to do something. And when I was spoke or had somebody be like, why don't you be an outreach coordinator? I just thought, man, that's the best news I've heard all day. And so I feel like I can do some good there. There's some things that we're going to fail on. There's some things that we're going to have to back up and punt. But I feel like us not doing anything there, if God comes back, I see you in church. I see you're a deacon. I see you work up in the nursery. I see you work with the middle school kids. I see you back in there, Julian, Stephen, I see that. What else are you doing? What are you doing? Like, and so that's, man, that just, that hit me. And I know there's people behind the scenes doing stuff in this church that's way more than I could ever do. I see that. But I also see a lot of room for growth. And I think that I don't want to be sitting in this seat in this church knowing that my friends and you guys, my family, that are sitting still when God comes back, because I don't want to see whipping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to see that. Yeah. I want to see him giving talents away. So anyway, I'll leave that, and Jordan can...
Praise God. Man, I appreciate that. I really do. Do you have my sermon back there, Julie? Do you have a PowerPoint? You try to pull that up. This is a scripture. Up to this morning, I was preparing a message this morning, and Tig texted me. And, man, it's so hard to just let go. Let the Holy Spirit work this morning. That's the one. The highways and hedges. I'm challenged by what Tig said. And we're talking this week, you know, I talked last week. I said, is Jesus pleased with Marble Hill Baptist Church? That was the message last week. That was the question. That was the sermon. Is Jesus pleased with Marble Hill Baptist Church? That's everything. That's all that matters. Yes or no? And I mentioned last week that an area we struggle, that I feel like we can grow in, is that it was in John 13 about the distinguishing mark of the disciples of Jesus, which is what? That we do what? What is it that distinguishes us as disciples of Jesus? Love one another. That we love one another. And that's where I bring up about our deacons, our ministers, praying for, checking on each other. And that has to happen. And that's an area where I feel like we can grow. And I was talking to Tig this week, and he was talking about outreach. And as he mentioned that, I love evangelism. I love one-on-one evangelism. I love sharing the gospel with people. I love answering questions. I love preaching the gospel. Let me tell you what I give myself an F minus on. Outreach. That's a huge weakness for me. I want to try to think, well, it's humility, it's something like that, and understand what Tig's saying. When he's saying get the church's name out there, this is a place where people can come and meet Christ. That it's not about Marble Hill, it's not about Jordan, it's not about Tig. He'll be the first to tell you that. It's not about you. It's not about, you know, self-promotion or something like that. But the fact is the gospel preached here or not? Are kids taught the gospel here? Are they taught about Christ here or not? If they are, we got to get people in. It's like I said, we got to open the doors and bring them in. And that's, I have a passion for that. But I'm terrible at outreach. I'm terrible. Social media, Jana saves me on that. I'm terrible at those things that are important that can help reach people. And that's the areas that I need to grow in. If I need to change that, then I need to change it, because we have to do whatever it takes. We have to do whatever it takes. And there's a passage of scripture I want to read very quickly. I won't take much time with this. But in Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells a parable. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15, it says, and when one of them sat at meat with him, he heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. So there's someone sitting there, that he's at the Pharisee's house, and there's a lot of context behind what Jesus is going to say next. But there's a guy sitting there at the Pharisee's house, it might have been the Pharisee himself, that says, you know, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. That was his reply. Jesus just made a very challenging statement, and that was the reply that he got back. Listen to what he says in verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man had a great supper, and he bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them, so he's going to have this banquet, and you had to prepare well in advance, and you sent out invitations, and everybody received the invitations, but then they accepted the invitation, they said, yes, I'll be there. Verse 17, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that they were bidden, come, for all things are now ready, and they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Verse 21. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. It is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is still room. Now, I want you to listen to what he says next. And the Lord said to his servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, there's a direct context to this. You know what, Jesus, you know what? And it's interesting, he says about the maimed and the lame. You know, right before that, he had talked to him about, he said, when you go to a dinner, don't take the high place, take the low place, to where the master can then call you up higher. This pride issue. And he said, you know what? When you have a banquet, don't invite all your friends who can repay you, who can invite you to their banquet. Invite people who are struggling. The lame, the maimed, the exact same wording, the blind, the halt, the poor, they can't pay you back. And Jesus knows that. He said, you invite them. You put them at your table. And then you'll be blessed to your Father. That's what he said. And that's what this guy's reply was. Blessed are those who are going to eat this in the kingdom of heaven. He didn't want to deal with what Jesus just said. So Jesus comes back to it again. And he said, let me tell you what God is doing. God's putting those people at his table, those that are willing to come. And there's a context to this where, I mean, there's a direct context where what Jesus is saying to this Jewish audience is, the Gentiles are coming in. He's saying, just in chapter 13 prior to this, he said, just so you know that there is a door, that if you don't enter through that door is going to be shut. And he said, I tell you that they shall come from the north, south, east, and west and sit together with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and you're going to be on the outside. He said that to the Jewish people. So he's talking about the Gentiles. You know what he's really saying, though? And this is where the context of that, it would be so controversial. It would have challenged so many people. And I think that's what Tig's done this morning. He's challenged us. You know, we can sit here all day long and say, oh, yeah, I love a good sermon. We don't like being challenged. Nobody likes being challenged. Nobody likes being questioned. But we need to hear that. The nest needs to be stirred at times to get us moving. Otherwise, all of us, our default is just to sit and just coast and just do nothing and put our feet up. We have to be challenged. That's why we meet here every Sunday morning, every Sunday, every Wednesday, is to challenge one another, to provoke one another into loving the good works, to challenge you, to say, what are you doing for the Lord this week? I need that. I think you need that too. We need to challenge each other. And you know, Jesus challenged the Jewish people, and they didn't like it so much, so they tried to kill him. They said, you know, we don't want to hear this stuff, but he was telling them the truth. But you know, so there's a direct context to this. There's a lot of things that led up to this that Luke is recording leading up to this statement. But there's also a direct application to us. When I say that what he was saying was, it's going to be open to everybody, the highways and the hedges. Go to those places where nobody wants to go. Go to the dark alleys. You know, go to social media if you have to. I don't want to go to social media. Like Tig said, I wish it wasn't the case that before somebody comes in that door, they're going to go look at the website first, but that's the world we live in. You know what that means? We got to update the website. We got to get it ready. I'm not a tech person, but I have to become a tech person. I don't know about YouTube. COVID hit. Now I know about YouTube because I have to. We can't do sermons. We're not going to be able to meet. We do what it takes. Go to the highways and hedges. You know, it's Tig's talking about putting a sign out. We think that's so small. Do something. We need to let people know, come. You're welcome here. Open the doors up. When I go to the jail and I say, you know, I'm terrible about not... I don't want to tell people I'm a pastor. I don't want to tell people the church I go to. It's not about me. It's not about the name of this church. But at the end of an hour long of sharing the gospel and pleading with men about their souls and their eternity, I may never see them again. They need something to connect me to. I say, come to Marble Hill. They need to know where that's at. We're a little country church, but they need to know where to come. I'll tell them, do you know where Friendswell Market is? We're right behind that. But I want them to be able to identify this place because they can come here because I want to have hours and hours and hours of conversations. I want to be, you know, I can't touch them. I can't shake their hand. I say, come to Marble Hill. I want to give you a hug. You're my brother in Christ. I want to love you. I want to help you. I want to encourage people to come in here, people that have a lot of problems. And it's going to take a lot of time. That's where everything I talked about last week ties directly to what Ty's all day. You kick the doors open. You bring them in. Open the highways and fill the house. But then somebody's going to be ready to serve the table. That's where our deacons come in. That's where our ministers come in. Put them on my list. I'm going to pray for them every day. I'm going to check on them every week. I'm going to ask, how are you doing? How can we help you every week? And there's going to be people that they're going to need a lot of help. You're going to ask them, there's people in this room right now, you ask them, how can I help you? They're going to say, I'm doing great. I'm talking about calling people and you say, how can I help you? They say, where do I even start? It's a mess. My whole life's a mess. Where do I even begin? Maybe that's how you can help them. Say, well, here's where I think you need to start, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to walk alongside you. This isn't going to take a week. This is going to take months. This is going to take years. But that's why I'm looking at about 50, 60, 70 people in this room right now, because that's what it's going to take, but it takes both. I mentioned Wednesday night, I kind of prepared people, as Tig and I had talked about, you know, are we ready? If we can send, you know, Tig's outgoing, Tig and Shannon are outgoing, they're hyperactive kids who are now older, but they're always going. They can go up and talk to anybody. I struggle with that. I do, and I love doing evangelism and things, but I have a hard time going and calling people and going and talking to a crowd of people, inviting them to something. That's a giftedness for them, how God has gifted them. If they go out and they invite them in, are we ready for them? Are we ready for them to come in? That's a challenge to me. That's a challenge to us. Are our classes ready? Are our teachers ready? Are we ready for them to show up? Are we ready to spend time with them? Are we going to clear our schedule to sit down and talk through things that they're struggling with, things that we can help them with? If there's something about the gospel they don't understand, am I ready to sit down and talk to them about that? That's the challenge we face. That's the question that we're asked.
Now, six of us are going to there.
Praise God.
They're there because they need help. So when we're there, we're inviting them to come here. So they're obviously needing help, or they wouldn't be invited here.
Amen.
We're inviting them to come. The next Sunday they may be here. So are we ready for
them? Amen. And I tell you, there's an area. And I don't say that. I love our sister churches, man. I love them. They're doing amazing work. But I tell you, there's always this appeal. I've heard this probably my whole life. You know what churches are looking for? Young families. Everybody wants the young families. The Little League wants the young families. The PTA wants the young families. Everybody wants those young families, those young middle-class families. I think there's a huge opportunity to say, hey, I want them too. I want everybody. This is what this whole thing is saying is, highways, edges. What it isn't just about the jail. It's about the whole world. About the whole world to come in. No one's excluded. If you exclude, you exclude yourself. Yes, there's a door that you must enter. You must enter through Christ, but it's open to the whole world. We can open our doors and say, anybody can come. But I tell you, I want the divorcees. I want the kids from a broken home. I want them here. What if they have behavioral issues? That's going to take more time and effort. Do we want them here? Christ is looking at us. He said, when you throw a feast, don't invite the ones who can host the feast next week. Invite the ones who will never in their whole life be able to host the feast. Invite them. Invite them. That's a challenge. That's a challenge I'm facing, you're facing. I think we can do this. I really do. And I'm excited about the future. And understand, Ty getting to share about this, about, you know, feeling called into outreach. And again, that's the, you know, I feel like the Holy Spirit's dealing with his heart, dealing with Shannon's heart. Well, that messed up all my plans. That sheet that you got last week, just rip that thing up. Number's wrong for Justin anyway. You know what? Somehow I got Justin's number, my own brother's number wrong, but anyway, on the sheet. But I like to plan, and I think we should plan. But I need to be willing to rip my plans up, and we'll do something different. It was so refreshing. I talked to Tig this week. He struggled. I was bewildered. Hey, Tig, I want you to be a deacon. I thought he'd be like, you know, let's do it. Instead, he completely just said, I don't want to do it. I'm thinking, That's the first time in your whole life I've suggested the stupidest, craziest things. Hey, let's go work on a sewer pump. Let's go be, you know, shoulder deep in a sewer pump. Sure, let's go do it. I mean, you're getting all the time and say, hey, you want to be a deacon? I think you're called. I think God's equipped you for this. I think you need to be a deacon. I don't want to do it. What? We're up here in the meeting. He said, I don't want to do it. It's like, everybody in the room is like, what? This is the one thing you don't want to do? You're up for everything. You don't want to. But I think you'll be a better outreach coordinator than you will a deacon. I think the Holy Spirit knows that, and the Holy Spirit does the calling, not me. I think about Acts chapter 13. Holy Spirit said, I got Paul and Barnabas, they're going with me. The church was praying and fasting. He said, Holy Spirit said, I'm inventing this thing called a missionary. See, Paul wasn't in charge of the church of Antioch. Barnabas wasn't in charge. The other pastors weren't in charge. The deacons, the Holy Spirit was in charge. The Holy Spirit said, okay, I'm taking these two. They're coming with me. Read Acts chapter 13. I don't know exactly. It says the Holy Spirit spoke and said, I've set apart Barnabas and Paul for the work that I've called them to. They prayed, laid hands on them, and they hit the road. And Paul began his first missionary journey. The Holy Spirit said, I'm going to invent this thing called a missionary. And that's what he did. And that was the launching pad of missions, was Antioch, which, by the way, was like the Las Vegas of its day. It was the worst of the worst city, where everybody went there for basically debauchery, for drunkenness, for sexual immorality, all those different things. That's where God said, this is my launching pad for world missions is going to come out of this. And that's what happened with Paul and Barnabas. And the Holy Spirit's the one who said, this is what we're going to do. So I plan. I'm going to always plan. I want to have a plan. I don't want to just, you know, make it up as we go. I want to have a plan. But I don't hold my plan like this. Holy Spirit takes it out of my hand, rips it up, and says, here's a new plan. Then we're going to go with a new plan. And I'll rip up my sheets, and we'll have some more meetings, and we'll figure this thing out. Like Ty said, he didn't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, you know, but we can, that's where we come together as a church. And if you got anything you'd like to, you know, talk with Ty about, share with him, share with me after the service today. But that's where we have to have an open hand to say, Lord, this is what we're planning, you know, under your leadership. God is in planning. He really is. He wants us to have a plan to do things decently and in order, but we have to hold that with an open hand to say, but, you change my. If you want to change my plan, change my plan. But as we say all this morning, I'm going to ask Bill if he would to come and get a song for us. And I'm asking everyone to stand if you would. And I find this challenging this morning. I really do. I asked Corey Michael to come as well. And man, I appreciate Ty's honesty. That's one. You know, when Ty first started coming here, Ty and Shannon. One thing I love is, man, he's honest. He just, you know, he's going to be upfront and honest with you. Maybe times you don't want to hear it. Maybe times he's completely wrong, but he's not going to just sit there and not say something. And that's where, you know, I want us to be honest with one another. I want us to work together in this. I'm not the boss here. I don't have all the answers. We're going to try things, and you know what? Sometimes they're going to go wonderful. We're going to want to blow up. It went so well. We're going to be exploding with joy. There's times we're going to do things. It's going to be a complete flop, a complete failure. It's going to be a disaster. We've got to be willing to fail. We got to be willing to get our nose broke. I talk about Wednesday night. You know, we sit here and we train. We're hitting the heavy bag. We're hitting the speed bag. We're training. We're jumping rope. We're training. We're running. We're training. When's the bout? When do you get in the ring? I've been training for 20 years, training for 30 years. When do you get in the ring with an opponent? You know, we have to be willing to get in the ring. You know what? If you're going to be a fighter, you're going to be a boxer, you're going to get your nose broke. It's inevitable. You're going to catch one in the nose. You're going to get your nose broke. That's part of it. We need to be willing to jump in the ring and get our nose needs to be crooked. If it's not, then we're being too cautious. We're being too careful. We've got to get in the ring. And I think this morning's message, as Ty has shared this, is challenging. It's challenging to me. I hope if it's challenging to you, if God's speaking to you this morning, maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you are entrenched in your comfort zone. And maybe deep down you've said, I will absolutely not. I want to warn you about that. I want to warn you about that. Don't keep telling God no. If he's calling you to do something, you better do it. Jake and I have talked about this. If God's calling you to do something, you better do it. You better mind him. We're going to close with that this morning. And as I referenced a minute ago, as Jesus warned the Pharisees, he warned the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, the devout Jewish people, he said, you better come through the door. because the door is going to shut one day, and you're going to be on the outside, and you're going to see these people sitting there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from all over the world. They're going to be sitting with them, and you're going to be on the outside. If you're here this morning, most urgently of all, if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need Christ today. You need to enter the door. You need to humble yourself and enter the door. There's nothing worse than trying to live a Christian life without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's torture. Trying to live the Christian life in the flesh. We need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit. He has to run this thing. If we try to run it on the flesh, it's going to fail. You need the Holy Spirit. You need Jesus Christ. I hope you have Him. If you have Him, you have everything that you need. All the strength that you need for the work that He's called you to. As we sing...